Thank you, mighty Holy Spirit, because you are in charge. And you help us this morning to hear from you and not from us. Glory be to you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. John chapter 15 and in verse 5. Media, please, can you give us John 15:5 in two or three different translations? Verse 12, John 15:12, please. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Verse 13. Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Another translation. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. Can you give me Amplified? This is my commandment, that you love and unselfishly seek the best for one another, just as I have loved you. Verse 13. No one has greater love nor stronger commitment than to lay down his own life for his friends. Can you give me Old King James Version? This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. This morning, we'll be considering the topic love. The way to victory. Love. The way to victory. I've forgotten, there is a particular translation that said, this is a new commandment. Jesus said, this is a new commandment I am giving you. Love one another as I have loved you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Love. The subject of love starts with God. The subject of love starts with God. You know, in the days of Moses, the practice of men is eye for eye, tooth for tooth, leg for leg. If you cut my hand, I cut your hand. If you do me, I do you. That was the practice. But Jesus came and said, I am giving you a new commandment, that you love one another. The earth before then was filled with lovelessness. Filled with lovelessness. And Jesus came and said, this is a new commandment I am giving unto you. Love one another, just as I have loved you. We have heard several messages, read several books about love. Yet love is still a subject of discourse in the Church of God today. Man was drawn back to God because of love. Man was won back to God because of love. The battles of life can only be won on the field of love. Can we look at 1 John chapter 4 and in verse 8? 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is what? Love. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. When a Christian community or a church or members of a church or of a Christian community begin to say that, there is no love here. There is no love here. Brethren, don't love at all. What are you saying? There is no God there. Amen. If there is no love in a gathering, it means there is no God there. Because God himself is what? Love. If you want to know God, you know love. If you want to see God, you see love. So when a Christian community or a gathering of the people of God is devoid of love, is filled with lovelessness, it means God is far away from that gathering. Because God himself is love. God himself is love. And no man can show or demonstrate extend love to any man without having God in him. For you to show correct love for one another, it means God is in you. Most of the problem we have in the world today, everywhere, every family, every household, is because of lovelessness. The Bible says that love covereth what? Multitude of sin, multitude of offense. That means where there is love, sin and offenses can be conquered. Where there is love, sin and offenses can be conquered. And if there is no love in your heart, what occupies the heart of such a person is what? Hatred. And a heart that is burdened, filled with hatred, is a body. Check. That body is filled with what? Sickness and diseases. In fact, at times, incurable diseases. Because there's no flow of love that will emit forgiveness. No flow of love. No forgiveness where there is no love. Where there is no love, no forgiveness. A A brother can easily forgive if his heart is filled with what? Love. And it is love that generates compassion. If you don't have love, you cannot be compassionate towards anybody. When there is absence of love in a house between a husband and a wife, what you experience there is fight, quarrel, threat of divorce. Small thing that can be easily resolved between the husband and wife will be escalated. Why? The wine of love have disappeared. To live in peace is to live in love. To live in peace is to live in love. Where there is wars, where there is fighting, where there is pulling down of one another is a place where love have disappeared. In that place, love has disappeared. So people can fight, can cause war, can pull down another, and do all manner of things. What will make a husband to raise his hand and beat the wife and wound the wife and patch the face of the wife? Or what will make a woman or a wife to carry knife and say she will kill the husband? What will make a wife to carry a table and say, I will break your head? Or scatter television in the house? Or any other available electronics in the house? A family without love cannot be united. Check out any family where there is no love. There can be no unity. There can be no unity in any family where there is no love. Can we look at Proverbs 25 from verse 21 to 23? Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25. If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. For so you will heap coals. For so you will heap coals of fire on his head, and the Lord will reward you. Romans 12, verse 20. Romans 12, 20. Okay. The north wind brings forth rain and a backbiting tongue and angry countenance. Okay, Romans 12, 20 and 21. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with what? Good. You know, somebody called me yesterday, and she was narrating the activities of the husband. And I told her, I said, look, you can only win over your husband by showing him love. Even in the midst of the hurtful things he is doing to you. The more the man hurts you, the more you do what? You show love to him. It will come to a point one day that he will come to his senses. And before you know, he will go on his knees and begin to, you know, to beg you for forgiveness. So just allow him. Let him do whatever. If you want to do operation fire for fire, it will not bring any solution. Give me, I give you. Will it solve the problem? No. It is not operation fire to fire or fire for fire. So the more he is, you know, hurting you, also ask God for grace to show him more love. Where there is much hatred, much more love will conquer it. And he said, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with what? Good. And the only thing that can make you overcome evil with good is what? Love. Learn to explain away the fault of others. What do I mean? Learn to excuse the fault of others. A normal human being cannot give food to his enemy. Now me go feed them so that you come and kill me. Is it possible? A normal human being cannot give food to his, cannot feed his enemy. But what is this, the word of God teaching us this morning? He said, if your enemy is hungry, do what? Feed him. If your enemy is in trouble, if you can help, render help to him. That is a way to win him over. That is the way to win over the person. Many of us will say, he has been doing this every time, this and that and that, I cannot again. This. No. Whatever step you take outside of love is negative. Whatever step you take outside of love for your brethren or against your brethren is what? Negative. In Luke chapter 15 or so, the story of the prodigal son. After collecting the whole thing, all of his inheritance from the father, and went and wasted it. And he came back to his senses after some period of serious hunger and starvation. He came back to his senses and said, let me go back to my father. He has enough. It's better for me to be a servant in his house than to be a wasted person here. And he took his journey back to his father. And the Bible said that when the father saw him afar, what came over the father? Compassion. And what led to that compassion? The love of the father. Amen. What triggered the compassion is the love, the genuine love, the original love of the father. Despite his wasteful life, the father welcomed him and celebrated him. The father would, by that act, have won this young man forever and ever in life. Will he ever think of doing the first act again? No. The love of the father. If when the father saw him afar off and said, tell that boy he should not come near my house, so let him never, he can go and arrange armed robbers. Is it not possible? He can go and arrange armed robbers to come and rob the father. In our time now, we have heard of people who kidnap, self-kidnapping. Have you not heard of self-kidnapping? They will arrange with somebody, they will go and hide them somewhere, and they say they have kidnapped them. What is the target? They want to collect money from their father or their family members. Self-kidnapping. So what will lead to all this? Lovelessness. Lovelessness. I heard a story recently that young men, you know, some in a family, the children gathered the men, and arranged and killed their father so that they can have access to the wealth of their father. What is the cause? Lovelessness. Maybe the man have not done enough to win them over. And they were given to what? Lovelessness. Amen. Now we are going to look at how love led to a victory, a resounding victory that we Christians today, we use it as a slogan, how do I put it? Eh? Can we look at 1 Samuel? 1 Samuel 30. To be comprehensive, we'll take it from verse 1 to 25. Now it happened, when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag attacked in the south, and Ziklag attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken captive the women and those who were there, from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was burnt with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Can we jump to verse 8 now? So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for you surely overtake, and without fail recover all. We have done a lot of programs that will say, pursue, overtake, and recover all. Move on. So David went, he and the 600 men who were with him, and he came to a brook Besor, where those stayed who were left behind. There are some members of his army who were so weak, who were so exhausted, were left behind at that brook. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 stayed behind, who were so weary that they could not cross the brook Besor. Then they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David, and they gave him bread. And he ate, and they let him drink water. And they gave him a piece of a cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. So when he had eaten, his strength came back to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk water for 3 days and 3 nights. Go on. Then David said to him, "To whom do you belong, and where are you from?" And he said, "I am a young man from Egypt, servant of an Amalekite, and my master left me behind because 3 days ago I fell sick." You can see this young man. The master refused to show him what? Love. And you see what it will lead to. But David and his men showed this man what? Love. Go on. "We made an invasion of the southern area of the Cherethites in the territory which belonged to Judah, and of the southern area of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire." Go on. And David said to him, "Can you take me down to this troop?" So he said, "Swear to me by God that you will neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will take you down to this troop." Now, this fellow. Okay, let's go on. Verse 17. "Then David attacked them from twilight until the evening of the next day. Not a man of them escaped, except 400 young men who rode on camels and fled." So David recovered all that the Amalekite had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. The word of God came to pass. Pursue, overtake, and you recover all without fail. But who is now the link to this recovery? The Egyptian young man is now the link to the fulfillment of the word that God gave to David. If David had not shown him love on that field, David and his men will be wandering around, going from places to places, looking for where these enemies camped. He showed him love. And that love now led to the victory that David recorded. Now, on the other hand, the other man, his master, treated him badly. He refused to show him love. And because of that now, that man that he left behind became the link to their destruction. Your lovelessness is a link to what? To destruction. I heard the story of a man that was kidnapped, taken to the bush, and coincidentally, one young man that he helped in secondary school, when all other teachers were mocking him, he kept encouraging this young man. He kept encouraging this young man. And this young man, unfortunately, became a very bad guy. Very bad guy. After leaving that secondary school, he joined a bad gang, and they were into kidnapping and killing of people for ritual. So when this young man recognized this, his old teacher, he did not allow anybody to touch him. Why? The teacher showed him love. When every other person, you know, abandoned him, the man showed him love. Now, what this man had done years ago, the payment is now here. Every act of man has a payment waiting. Every act of man has what? A payment waiting. My father in those days, he told me, he said, if your father is good, anywhere you go as his son, you will meet people that will be good to you. And if your father is a bad person, doing people evil, you as a son, you will do what? You will meet people who will give you that pay. So this young man became the link to the recovery of all that God has assured David. If David and his men neglected this man without showing him that love, the link to this recovery, even if they will have it, it will take them more days and more hard searching for this man who invaded their town and burned it down. So living a life of love is living a life of what? Victory. Living a life of love is living a life of victory. Let's go on. And nothing of theirs was lacking, either small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything which they had taken from them. David recovered all. Nothing was missing, according to the word of God. 21. Now David came to the 200 men who had been so weary that they could not follow David, whom they also had made to stay at the brook Besor. So they went out to meet David and to meet the people who were with him. And when David came near the people, he greeted them. Then all the wicked, there are also wicked men who went out with David to do the recovery. There are some wicked fellows among them. So then all the wicked and worthless men of those who went with David answered and said, because they did not go with us, we will not give them any of the spoil that we have recovered, except for every man's wife and children, that they may lead them away and depart. But these wicked men have forgotten that these men also, their properties, other properties were burned down. Their houses burned down. Their clothes burned down. And other things that they had in Ziklag, all burned down. Now, because they don't have enough strength to go to go further, to cross the brook, further to the recovery, to also be witness or be part of this recovery. Now, these wicked men say, no, let them carry their wife and their children and then go. The other loot we had, we carry from this journey, they will not be part of it. Brother, sister, is that not our character? You conquer, then you gather everything to yourself. It is you and you and you alone. My younger brother came to me. He said he came to report the wife. And all. I said, okay, no problem. I'll come and see you people. When I came, unfortunately for him, he was not around. So I met the wife. I said, please come and tell me what is happening. Tell me the truth too. And at a point, he said, my husband, he likes himself, himself, and himself. So before he will consider us, he will consider himself, himself, and himself. I said, okay. Another story followed. Amen. And before I finished with her, the husband came in. I said, okay, I am going now. So, there, you should come and meet me so I can talk to you people. I've heard your wife and I've heard you. And I know the young man. I said, all that your wife said is true. All that your wife said, all is what? True. What am I trying to say? Don't be a man of me, myself, and I. Me, myself, and I. No, when we look at Acts of the Apostles, the early church, and how they practice Christianity, we know that we are far behind that practice. But people will tell you today that times have changed. Right? Time have changed. Okay, let's read on. But David said, my brethren, you shall not do so. My brethren, you shall not do what? Do so. Don't look at your brother suffering and close your eye. Don't look at your sister suffering and close your eye. He's weak, he's lazy. He's this, he's that. So because of that, everything you have, you close it in. We have instances where some wife will so corner their husband that they'll know that the members of the family will have no access. Members of the family will have no access. Everything should be them and them and them alone. My brother, that kind of food is not sweet. It's not sweet. If God gives you opportunity to help, render that help, for that is the reason why God put you there. Joseph had ample opportunity to revenge, to pay back the evil that his brethren did to him. He had that opportunity to deal with them. He said, no, you think you are doing me evil, but God meant it for what? Good. The evil, you know, David speak out of the heart of love. David spoke to his brethren out of the heart of love. No, don't feel bad for what you have done to me. Don't feel bad at all. You, in your heart, you think you were doing me bad, but God turned it to what? Good. And God has put him in position. And he used that position to help his father's household. Without looking at the evil they have planned against him, that God turned it to good. But David said, my brethren, you shall not do so with what the Lord has given us. Is it with what the Lord has given me? As far as David is concerned, what he has now, the Lord has given. Now, these people now, if they are strengthened tomorrow, do you think they will not be loyal to David to the core? Eh? Anywhere the king, David will call them, they will run to that place. Brethren, you shall not do so with what the Lord has given us, who has preserved us and delivered into our hand the troop that came against us. 24. For who will heed you in this matter? But as his part is, who goes down to the battle, so shall his part be who stays by the supplies. They shall share. They shall share what? Equally. Every life entrustment, whatever God has entrusted into your hand, it is by mercy. It's a privilege. If God has repositioned you, it's what? It's a privilege. God wants you to use that position to show his love. God is love, but the love of God will be viewed through you. Is God here physically? No. God is not here physically, but you are the one through whom the love of God will flow to others. If we must evangelize and bring in souls, some people, I encountered somebody in Wuse some years ago. He said, brother, I'm going to Suleja, but I don't have transport. And I have not eaten today. Please, can you help me? I dipped my hand in my pocket and I gave him money. He stood, he said, Oga, which church did they go? That was the next question. He said, which church did they go? I mentioned my church. And that time, we don't even have handset to say, let me get your number. When all this Nokia 33 was ringing and it was, is it Nokia? No, this one that, Motorola to Raya. So we are only hearing the name. Amen. So I cannot say, give me your number. I am in Wuse, it's in Suleja. You see, your good work of love will draw men unto God. Battles you cannot fight, love will fight it for you. Battles of life you cannot fight, love will fight it for you. Now, because of time, okay, I want us to look at 1 Corinthians. Okay, 1 Corinthians 4. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 to 8. 1 Corinthians 13, 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, but whatever they are, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there are knowledge, there is knowledge, it will vanish away. Okay. Love never fails, but love never fails. Let's hold it there. Love never fails. And I listed some characteristics of love that wins. I said, love is patient. Love is patient. Love is patient. Because of time, I'll just give the point. Love is kind. Love is not envious. Love does not boast. Love is never proud. Love does not dishonor others. You begin to dishonor others because God has put you in a position. Other people are nothing before you. Love does not dishonor us. No matter the knowledge, the realm of knowledge you have acquired is not a license for you to dishonor others. You don't know their tomorrow. Amen. You don't know their tomorrow. The man that is down today can be up tomorrow. Potiphar refused to listen to Joseph's side of story and just put him in prison. No, I have been searching to see what becomes Potiphar when Joseph became the prime minister. Amen. When Joseph became the prime minister, both Potiphar and his wife will come to David and say, "Sir." They will come to Joseph and say, "Sir." Amen. Never, love is never self-seeking. Not me, all the time. Anything, no matter, even if it is small, that comes to your hand, only you. You swallow it. You swallow it. Not easily angered. Love, where there is genuine love, is not easily angered. Love conquers anger. Love conquers anger. Keep no records of wrongs. Like some people will tell you something, a wrong that somebody did to them about 10 years ago is still in their record. They can still rehearse it, give you date, time, minute, and the circumstance or the area, the environment where the thing happened. But what is the Bible saying? Love. Never keep records of wrongs. Don't keep the record of your husband's wrongs. Wife, don't keep record of your husband's wrong. Husband, don't keep record of your wife's wrong. Love never delights in evil, but rejoice with the truth. Always protect, always trust, always hope, always persevere. Love never fails. Love never fails. Any other thing can fail. Do you know why love never fails and cannot fail? Because God is love. And God will reign forever. He will live forever. In the mighty name of. Finally, how can love be the way to victory? By it triggers motivation. When you show love, people are motivated. People are motivated. Motivation and purpose, love for a person, a cause, or an ideal can inspire people to persevere through hardship and overcome obstacles that might otherwise defeat them. Number two, healing and reconciliation. Love gives you healing and reconciliation, even in conflicts. Heals and bring reconciliation in the time of conflict, especially personal or social ones. Love fosters understanding and forgiveness, turning potential enemies into allies and ending cycles of vengeance. We heard about a particular tribe in Nigeria. If you do anything to them, their children will come and revenge it if they are not alive. It may take them 100 years. Some of the killings, the invasions you are hearing today in the name of herdsmen and whatever, it was an agenda of what? Revenge. It's an agenda of revenge. But if you want to win somebody to your religion, is it by attacking him? Is it by killing him? That is not the way of victory, of winning people unto yourself. The more you attack, the more they run away from you. In leadership, number three, in leadership and influence, leaders who act with love and compassion often inspire loyalty, cooperation, and trust, which are essential to achieving long-term goals. Very essential to achieving long-term goals. Finally, inner peace and strength. The way of love is the way of inner peace and strength. Love grant every individual emotions or their spirituality, strong strength and focus under any guise or any form of pressure. You are focused. Why? The love of God allow the joy of the Lord to flow in your heart. Love can be a way to victory because it has the power to transform your life. It has the power to transform your life. It has the power to transform you from a man of conflict, from a woman of conflict, to a woman or a man of peace. And where there is peace, everything flows. In an environment of peace, everything flows well. And that is why government will tell you that when there is instability, they cannot achieve much. But where there is peace, things will flow well. Can we arise? It couldn't be enough. Yes, it couldn't be enough. By the splinter of the tree, Jesus died on. I couldn't pay the price for a single drop of blood that was shed on Calvary. What a boundless love, a boundless love. Unending joy, this is my life, Lord. This what I know, I can believe it, that he selected me. Jesus, my life is you, I know. Love is a command, and love is God. And if we must succeed in life, we must live the life of God, and the life of God is the life of love. Amen.
Please, can you just talk to the Lord briefly? As you're standing, can you talk to him? Can you talk to him? Love the way of victory. The altar of love, there is victory. David won by love. Conflict bow at the altar of love. Quarrels, stubborn cases, bow at the altar of love. At the altar of love, comparison has no relevance. Competition cannot stand. Talk to the Lord. Lift up his servant unto him and ask that the Lord will grant him an experience of his word. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise the Lord. As you are standing, It's our privilege this morning to welcome to the podium.